All right, well, let's talk about this body of Christ that we are all baptized into by one Spirit once we are believers. And we'll be talking about the term that's often used as you read through Acts about the church, about the body of Christ church, after the church of God that was made up of the disciples. After that, the church didn't fall. It was apostate Israel that church came out of. It was apostate Israel that fell in Acts 7. In Acts 15, that church, the little flock, the church of God, stopped adding members. They stopped preaching. They agreed, and it was a verse right next to what we just read there. Welcome, Purple. It would be Galatians 2:9, where they agreed to stop going into all the world to preach the gospel, probably remembering that the Lord had said they would not, he would return before they got to all the cities, even in Israel. They wouldn't get outside of Israel. So they left the evangelizing of those throughout the world to Paul, and Paul preached his gospel, not the kingdom gospel. So, Paul's gospel of Christ saved those who heard it and believed it. And it was when he preached in Acts, he was preaching to the Commonwealth of Israel. Now, we'll talk about what that Commonwealth is. Those Israelites and the Greeks who blessed Israelites, that would be not people from Greece, but from the Greek culture, they would be Gentiles or non-Jews who realized God was working in the world through Israel at that time, and they blessed Israel to receive a blessing from God, according to Genesis 12, verse 3. So it's the Jews and the Greeks. All of them are in God's earthly program through Israel, but they would join together, coming to the synagogues, the Jewish synagogues. And that's what the Commonwealth of Israel is. It's like you would say greater Chicago area or greater Dallas area. I guess they still call that the Metroplex. But in Israel, they would call the greater gathering, they would call that the Commonwealth of Israel. And it's bigger. It includes the nation of Israel, but all these Greeks too, that, and proselytes, and that's it. So it's not only those who descended from Abraham and from Jacob, renamed Israel. It's also those God-fearing Gentiles who bless Israel and came in under the covenants of promise in that way by blessing Israel, and it was before Israel was blinded and cast away, while Israel was still rising. In the rise of Israel, that was salvation. But Israel fell, and we need to find out what the Bible says is our salvation after the fall of Israel. Through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Today, no one can come to God through Israel's discontinued gospel. Paul was sent to preach this new gospel, a new pattern of salvation from his sending. That would be in Acts 13. You can read it. I see two sendings in there from two groups or two sources. The prophets and teachers sent him, and the Holy Ghost sent him out. The sending by the prophets and teachers ended in Acts 14:26, but Paul and Barnabas were not without a commission between Acts 14:26 and when Paul was sent to all men. He was still under that Holy Ghost commission in Acts 13, verse 2 and 4. So even when Paul had been sent to all men, he didn't stop preaching to the gospel of salvation to the Jews. They were when they were cast away at the end of Acts, even after they fell, they were considered Gentiles. If you look at Romans 2:25, they were considered uncircumcision for not keeping the law. Part of that law, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, says the Lord is going to send a prophet like unto Moses, whom they should believe. They didn't. They didn't keep that part of the law. Romans 2:25, they are uncircumcision. So Paul went after all of them, the Jews and the Gentiles, without respect, he respected them, but I mean without preference to one or the other after his all-man sending. There we go. Thank you, Vic. So it's just that his later sending was to all men, not just to the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, as his earlier sending was. In 2 Corinthians 10:16, Paul said he would soon be going to the regions beyond you. And that was written in Acts 20, verse 3. He would soon be going. He was trying to raise the funds to go beyond his normal circuit there, where he went from church to church and synagogue to synagogue at first. We have to remember that Israel and the body of Christ were two separate entities. And that we're talking about, you know, two separate groups here. They're not the same. Don't mix them up. The body of Christ on one side, Israel on the other. They're not the same. One does not become the other. And one does not take the place of the other. There is a brief time there, 12 to 20 years or so, when people in Israel had a choice. They could... individuals were still being courted to believe the kingdom gospel. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 7, written in Acts 19. In Acts 19, they could still believe that kingdom gospel and be a position or status similar to the little flock. But most of the people would hear, not only hear the gospel of God, they'd hear Paul preach the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. And by believing that he died for your sins, you are saved. They would be in the body of Christ. They would not be in Israel. They'd be in the body of Christ. So in time past, God had exercised dominion over the earth and the universe. In Genesis 1, verse 28, Adam had been given dominion. Dominion over the sea and air and earth. Let's look at that verse. Genesis 1, 28, how things started out. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Multiple. This is talking to Adam and Eve, just after they were created. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Well, then Satan tempted Adam to sin and forfeit his dominion over, giving it over to Satan. Satan is now the god of this world, and he's the prince of the power of the air. We should look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3 and then verse 4, starting with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel of Christ is a gospel of salvation. And, you read the verse. Today, Israel has been blinded and cast away. You can read that in, their initial blinding and fall, their fall. You can read in Acts chapter 7. Actually, it's the 10 last verses or so. But to get the full impact, you need to start in about chapter 6, verse 5 or 4, somewhere in there. And you get the full defiance of Israel against their Messiah, the blasphemy involved by the very highest level of Israel's leadership, the high priest. So, Jesus will, at some point in the future, Jesus will gather back Israel into the land that was promised to them. And he'll put his spirit in them. God will use earthly Israel to reestablish his authority on earth that he lost, that Adam lost for him to Satan in the Garden of Eden when he sinned. Jesus Christ will be Messiah, and he'll be the king on earth in the kingdom. But the body of Christ is his heavenly people. The body of Christ we talk about it here on earth because we're still here. Our soul, our bodies, what we see, the temptations around us, the veil that Satan puts up to prevent people from easily seeing the reality of the scriptures, it's still here. But those that have trusted Christ are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In Christ, seated together with him. Our spirits are already saved. They're already in heaven. We're already in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. So God will use his earthly agency to reestablish his authority on earth, but he'll use his heavenly people, the body of Christ, to reestablish his authority in the heavens. So you can see that they're different. They're different agencies of God. They're given different gospels, different destinations. Israel has never promised heaven. They live forever in the land. The land that flows with milk and honey. They're going to have it good eventually, but they have to. The gates of hell will not prevail against them. They have to go through the gates of hell and be born again into this kingdom. The events in Israel's history, in Israel's existence, they did not correlate with any of the events in the body of Christ. Things that happen in the body of Christ, changes that occurred, they did not necessarily correlate with any of Israel's events. One may follow the other. In other words, the Lord waited to start to save Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus until Israel had fallen. But they're not the same event. They're different events separated by a chapter or two. Let's turn our thoughts to Israel's warnings and cursings, and they had fallen. We talked about that. We'll look a little bit at the diminishing. And there was a diminishing that had been prophesied to Israel as curses, just like that example we've considered before about a block of cheese, a brick of cheese, like Velveeta or one of those cheese blocks about the size of a brick, you know. If you cut it from the upper left diagonally down through it to the lower right, you know, you start with the big part of the wedge on the left, and if you keep that block together, it looks like a brick, but this diagonally, the left piece of the diagonal would be like Israel, starting out big at the beginning of Acts, but then falling and starting to diminish until they're diminished and totally cast away at the end of that brick of cheese. There they'd be in the lower left corner, nothing left. But in the meantime, starting in Acts 9, Paul is saved as the beginning of the body of Christ. And it grows to where that's all that's left. The only way to be saved by the end of Acts, before 70 AD, that was the only way to be saved. And as it is today. So on the right side of this cut block of cheese, you have nothing until Acts 9. And then you see one person, Saul of Tarsus, getting saved into the body of Christ on the road to Damascus. And then the body of Christ grows and grows and grows as salvation goes to those Gentiles in a position to provoke disbelieving Israel to jealousy and to save some into the body of Christ. Can we discredit one, tool that some people are using to say that there were no, when it's talking about the Greeks that did not, what do they say? They say they're not believers. They say they were idol worshippers. The Greeks were idol worshippers. The Jews were idol worshippers. Let's look in Ezekiel. That's the last of the major the prophets that are major in size. Ezekiel 8, verse 10. And we see that even Israel was idol worshippers. So that doesn't mean that God wasn't still working through them. They had gone astray after idols over and over and over and been brought back. But the verse here says, "So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." And as I recall, I should have read further back, I think this is talking about within the very temple that they use. I'm trying to head back a little further and see. Let me just go back a few verses and see if he's not talking about the temple. I see the synagogue there. 2:1. I think he was talking about the temple, but I am not sure. It's at least in the synagogues. Okay, well, let's go on. So, but just because Israel and the Greeks worshipped idols at periods during their history does not mean God wasn't blessing Israel, blessing those Gentiles for trying to come to God through Israel, by blessing Israel. That was the only way Gentiles had to be saved, or no, they wouldn't be saved yet. That just like Israel, they would have to wait till the kingdom comes in to get their inheritance, which would be different than Israel's. They would be blessed. There's a promise of a blessing. So, toward the end of Acts, represented by the right side of this brick of cheese that's cut diagonally, where Israel is down to next to nothing, you see that the whole picture is the growing body of Christ, the right side of the wedge that started as a pinpoint in Acts 9. And actually, before Israel's diminishing began, they had been warned and warned and warned, even as early as Moses, they were warned that they would be cursed and blinded if they didn't stop their apostasy. God didn't just snap decision this thing about cutting them off. Their fall in Acts 7. Their blinding and casting away in Acts 28. It wasn't a snap decision. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. From my sanctuary. Okay, thanks, Vic. Yeah, that's 8:6. Shows that it was at least in their sanctuaries. And maybe if you read it, it's talking about the sanctuary of the temple. I got that impression before when I read it. Anyway, Acts 28:13 and 14 and 15 and 16. "And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only." These are great promises to Israel if they keep the covenants and the commandments. "Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Their sanctuary was full of idols. Verse 15. And this is in Deuteronomy 28:15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thy basket shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. They're cursed. No offspring. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with hemorrhoids. We put an H before that. That's what I was talking about there. And with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Verse 28 in chapter 28. The Lord will smite thee with madness and blindness. Blindness, sound familiar? And astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled forever, and no man shall save thee. According to Deuteronomy 28:29 that we just read, the post-millennial theory is false. The church will not save the kingdom so that Christ can return to it. For the kingdom to come out of heaven, Christ himself will have to clean up the earth and bring the kingdom out of heaven to earth to reign for 1,000 years. They will have to be resurrected. Born again. But even later, Israel was warned by David. That was back in Deuteronomy, Moses warning him. David said in Psalm 69, verse starting in verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not. There's the blindness again. And make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Verse 25, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. Even later than that, that was Psalms, the time of the kingdom, the mighty kingdom of Israel there. But later, during the prophets, after several of the kings went by, more crowned and died, they were warned by Hosea that they would be lo am I, not God's people. Then, this is Hosea 1:9, then said God, call his name lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. What stern words. I will not be your God. How left out you'd feel if that happened to you. But it's not gonna. Today we're saved if we believe that Christ died for our sins. Or if we have believed that. But then later still, they were warned by Isaiah. Isaiah 29:10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. Blindness. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. So those are the prophecies of the result of Israel going away from God, going against God over and over and over. And we'll look more at the blindness and how it appeared in Jesus' day next time when we hopefully tomorrow night, and we'll plan toward tomorrow night.